Hello, and welcome back to my podcast, The Listening Room. I am your host, Mubarak Hassan, and in today's episode, we'll be taking a look into a famous fictional novel, Half of a Yellow Sun. This novel was written by Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and also takes place in Nigeria during the 60s. The first half of this novel incorporates many different complex storylines with many characters who all connect and interact throughout the novel. This story emphasizes the importance of tribes within Nigeria and surrounds the war that takes place during this time. The three main tribes in Nigeria at this time are the Yoruba, who are recognized as first-rate lickspittles, the Hausa, who are seen as dignified, and Igbo, who are seen as surly and money-loving. The idea that the Hausa is the better tribe is significant later on. A moment that happens later on in the novel is that Olana, one of the main characters, visits her poor family in a village to the north. Olana greets her uncle, her aunt, and her pregnant cousin, Aris. Although they're very poor, they welcome her and show her a lot of love, which says a lot for their character. Olana meets this family friend later, Abdul Malik, who becomes very important. A coup happens within the government, and anyone who identifies as Igbo, one of the tribes, is being targeted. Now that I have provided a brief summary and context of what is going on, I will be reciting a passage from the novel. The passage is located on page 186 and 187. Olana felt a watery queasiness in her bowels before the numbness spread over her and stopped at her feet. Muhammad was dragging her, pulling her, his grasp hurting her arm. But she could not leave without Aris. Aris was due at any time. Aris needed to be close to a doctor.
"Aris," she said. "Aris is down the road."
The smoke was thickening around her so that she was not sure if the crowd of men drifting into the yard were real or just plumes of smoke. Until she saw the shiny metal blades of their axes and machetes, the blood-stained caftans that flapped around their legs. Muhammad pushed her into the car and then went around and got in.
"Keep your face down," he said.
"We finished the whole family. It was Allah's will,"
one of the men called out in Hausa. That man was familiar. It was Abdul Malik. He nudged a body on the ground with his foot, and Olana noticed. Then, how many bodies were laying there? Like dolls made of cloth.
"Who are you?" another asked, standing in front of the car.
Muhammad opened his door. The car still on. It spoke in rapid, coaxing Hausa. The man stood aside. Olana turned to look closely to see if it really was Abdul Malik.
"Don't raise your face," Muhammad said.
He narrowly missed a cuckoo tree. One of the large pods had fallen down, and Olana had heard the crunching squash as the car ran over. She lowered her head. It was Abdul Malik. He had nudged another body, a woman's headless body, and stepped over it. Placed one leg down and then another, although there was enough room to step to the side.
"Allah does not allow this," Muhammad said.
He was shaking. His entire body was shaking. "Allah will not forgive them. Allah will not forgive the people who made them do this. Allah will never forgive them." They drove in a frenzied silence past policemen in blood-spattered uniforms, past vultures perched by the roadside, past boys carrying looted radios, until he parked at the train station and shoved her onto a crowded train. So this passage is effective in the story because of the author's use of descriptive words and her ability to paint a picture in the reader's mind. Chimamanda is great when it comes to her ability to connect emotions to her work. While reading this specific passage, I couldn't help but feel bad for Olana and her situation. I couldn't really connect to the situation personally, but I knew it was a difficult one. This shows how far the battle of the tribes have gone, in which they're being merged over what they identify as. When we found out that it was their close family friend who was the one that killed them, it was a complete surprise to me, because he was introduced as a kind man who even gave the characters free handmade sandals. Later on, you find out that he was kicking the pregnant cousin's dead body. That goes to show what his character truly was. He also used machetes to kill the family, so that's also shocking. Throughout the entire thing, Allah was mentioned quite a lot. A reference to God adds a sense of realism to the novel. As I am familiar with Allah being the only God in the eyes of Muslims, this is a small detail that connects to quite a lot of readers. Throughout this novel, a literary lens that I noticed would be the lack of feminism in Nigeria. During these times, women are treated as objects and not treated equally.
that you're pressured into marriage at a young age, the age of 16 and 17, and forced to produce children despite their family's financial situation. This is also true to the life in Nigeria during this time. My honest opinion on the novel so far is that it is an okay book with potentials to be something great. This is because a lot of the time, the novel focuses on things that are not important and wastes time on senseless things. I find I'm enjoying the most when the novel is taking a dark turn and adding action to the novel. We want to talk about the coup and the war. These are situations that happen all around the world, and it's interesting to see how they play out. I hope the next half of the novel picks up and uses their developed characters to entertain the readers. I do enjoy how I am learning about the Nigerian culture while I am reading. Thank you for listening to my podcast, The Listening Room. I am your host, Mubarak. Tune in next week where we take a look into the next half of the novel, Half of a Yellow Sun, written by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Thank you and goodbye. Hello, and welcome back to my podcast, The Listening Room, a podcast made by students for students. I am your host, Mubarak Hassan, and in this episode, I will be continuing to discuss the second half of the novel, Half of a Yellow Sun, written by author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. The second half of the novel continues off where we left off, but introduces a different tone to the story as they explore deeper topics within. The novel is now entering the peak of the Biafran War, and there are many deaths of characters we have grown to know. Ugwa, a houseboy for the main characters, is sent to war against his will and is said to have allegedly died. This is a major part of the novel as they spend an unnecessary amount of time discussing his possible death. Spoiler alert, he didn't die. I will now explore and read a passage from the novel. This passage can be found on page 455. I will now begin. "It's a long walk," someone said, and High Tech laughed and said, "We will command our car, of course." When High Tech laughed, Ugwa remembered he was a child. Only 13. Among 9 men, he looked incongruously small. Ugwa thought, as they walked along, the sound of rubber slippers echoed on the silent road. 2 of them were barefoot. They waited a while before a dusty Volkswagen Beetle drove towards them, and then spread across the road and blocked it. The car stopped and a few of them banged on the bonnet. "Get out, bloody civilians!" The man who was driving looked stern, as if he determined to show that he could not be intimidated. Beside him, his wife began to cry and please. "Please, we are going to look for our son." A soldier was violently hitting the bonnet of the car. "We need this for an operation. Please, please, we're going to look for our son. They told us he was in the refugee camp." The woman stared at High Tech for a while, her brows furrowed. Perhaps she thought he might be her son. "We are dying for you, and this is how you treat us? You were driving a pleasure cart," the soldier asked, pulling her out of the car. Her husband climbed out himself, but still stood by the car. His fist was tight with the key inside. "This is wrong, officers. You have no right to take this car. I have my pass. I am working for our government." One of the soldiers slapped him. The man staggered, and the soldier slapped him again and again and again, and he crashed to the ground, and the key slipped out of his hand. "It is enough," Ugwa said. Another soldier touched the man's neck and wrist to make sure he was breathing. The wife was bent over her husband as the soldier squashed into the car and drove to the bar. So this passage that I read adds a lot of depth to the novel. It adds depth as it shows the soldiers abusing their power for their own gain. They do not feel like walking, so instead they strip the citizens from their vehicles. This is seen many times within the novel as it depicts the soldiers as selfish and evil. They justify their actions by informing them of all the good they have done. They call themselves heroes, and they call the citizens selfish. And at times, like we have seen in this passage, refer to the citizens as selfish. This scene adds emotion to the story, as the readers can relate and feel empathetic toward the citizens. They were fearful for their lives, and they were taken advantage of.
During the novel, a recurring symbol that I noticed was half of a yellow sun, the title of the novel. This was the most mentioned symbol within the novel because the symbol placed on the sleeve of the soldiers was half of the yellow sun. It was the official symbol of Biafra. The sun is always rising throughout the novel, showing half a sun, symbolizing the hope the citizens had. All the citizens could do was hope for the best. Feminism, an issue I mentioned previously in the last podcast, still remained throughout this half of the novel. It was an issue of equality throughout all genders. Through both halves of the novel, women were treated unequally and were often raped. Even the main character participated in a group raping of a bartender. Women are seen as devilish if they get pregnant by a rapist and are judged on the gender of the baby. A baby was born and given away only because she was not a boy. Seeing that gender is such a big deal, even within babies, they are ultimately setting them up for failure. Women are seen as weak and unable to provide for their family, and they're also seen as objects. Families give their daughters away just to have enough food to eat. This book does a good job at bringing awareness of the reality of the past as well as the reality of the present. Most of the things in the novel had happened in the past and continue to happen throughout the world. Overall, I did not enjoy this novel. I didn't like how they focused so heavily on superficial subjects when there was a war outside killing millions. I didn't care for those specific characters' feelings, as it didn't seem important compared to the whole situation they face. They spent most of the second half talking about relationships and who cheated on who, and in reality, I really, really didn't care. They were talking about Olana, the main character. She was cheated by her husband. The husband got the mistress pregnant, and then in the end, Olana still went back to him and raised the mistress's child. This is giving young women readers the misconception that if a man were to cheat, they should blindly return to him without addressing what had happened. The novel is giving away the wrong ideas. Another aspect I did not enjoy was how the book ended. It ends abruptly and doesn't give any conclusion to the story. It seems as if it was unfinished. A main character goes missing, and that is a major part of the novel, and you do not know if she is dead or not. They spent countless chapters looking for her or any clues of her death, and they find nothing. The novel ends, and we're given no details of the missing person. I also despise the pacing of the novel. Countless chapters wasted on useless things, and when the war actually starts, you know, the main plot, the author decides to focus on the running away of the citizens rather than the actual fighting. We are only given maybe a page or two on the actual fighting. The pacing was slow until we reached towards the ending of the novel, and then it enters a 100-meter dash to the finish. In conclusion, I recommend you do not pick up this book. Save your time and read a book with substance. I had high hopes for this novel because it was based on an actual historical event which I was not informed of. But then, as the book went on and on, I became more and more disappointed. In general, I do not like reading books, but this book was especially difficult to read. I put off reading it because I truly couldn't be bothered to read this tragic novel. If you do decide to read this book in the end, I will question you from a distance and keep my disapproval to a minimum. To each their own, I guess. I wish you luck in reading the book. This concludes another detailed episode of The Listening Room, a podcast made for students by students. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.